This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from the Journal of Stroke and Cerebrovascular Diseases, published in 2026, titled Ischemic Stroke in Brazil, 2017 through 2025, Trends in Admissions, Thrombolysis, Craniectomy, Costs, and COVID-19 Disruption.
This is a timely paper, Alara. We often focus on the technical nuances of a thrombectomy or the flap size of a hemicraniectomy, but understanding the macro trends, especially in a large middle-income country like Brazil, is vital for global neurosurgery. The authors remind us right away that ischemic stroke, or IS, remains a leading cause of mortality and long-term disability in Brazil.
Exactly, Dr. Aris. And what makes this study unique is the timeline. By covering 2017 through 2025, they've captured the before, during, and after of the pandemic. They noted that while ischemic stroke is a massive public health burden, national-level data on things like seasonal patterns and specific therapeutic trends have actually been quite scarce until now.
Let's dive into those therapeutic trends. As neurosurgeons, we are often called when medical management reaches its limit. The paper looks specifically at thrombolysis and craniectomy. Alara, what did the data suggest regarding how these interventions were utilized over this 8-year period?
The study tracked the evolution of these treatments and found significant shifts. When we talk about thrombolysis, we're looking at the front line of reperfusion. But for our audience of residents and surgeons, the data on craniectomy is perhaps the most relevant. The paper analyzes the rates of decompressive craniectomy for ischemic stroke, usually reserved for those devastating cases of malignant middle cerebral artery syndrome.
It's interesting to see craniectomy included alongside thrombolysis in a national-level trend analysis. It highlights that surgery isn't just a rescue thought. It's a measurable part of the ischemic stroke care continuum. Did the authors find that the volume of these procedures stayed consistent?
Not exactly. One of the core focuses of the paper was the COVID-19 disruptions. We've all felt this clinically, but the data confirms it. There were major fluctuations in admissions and the delivery of these acute therapies during the peak pandemic years. The paper points out that these disruptions weren't just about fewer people coming to the hospital, though admissions did trend downward during specific waves, but also about the strain on resources for procedures like craniectomy.
And that has a direct impact on the long-term disability the abstract mentions. If the window for thrombolysis is missed, or if a patient who needs a life-saving decompression isn't triaged in time because of hospital saturation, the morbidity shifts significantly. Did the study touch on the financial side of this?
It did. They looked closely at costs. In a public health system like Brazil's, the economic burden of ischemic stroke is immense. The study suggests that the costs are not just tied to the initial hospitalization or the surgery itself, but are exacerbated by the complications and the prolonged recovery associated with stroke. When COVID-19 disrupted the standard care pathways, it didn't just affect outcomes, it affected the entire economic profile of stroke care from 2020 onwards.
That's a crucial point for the residents listening. Neurosurgery doesn't exist in a vacuum. The availability of an ICU bed for a post-op craniectomy patient is as much a part of the trend as the surgery itself. Now, the abstract mentioned seasonal patterns. Was there anything that stood out regarding when these strokes are occurring?
The authors were looking for those specific peaks. While the full seasonal breakdown provides a lot of granularity, the key takeaway for our listeners is that stroke admissions in Brazil aren't static throughout the year. Understanding these patterns helps in resource allocation, knowing when to expect a higher volume of patients who might require neurosurgical consultation for malignant edema.
So, looking at the trajectory from 2017 to 2025, where does this leave us?
The paper concludes that while there have been advancements in therapeutic trends, the disruption of the pandemic was a major hurdle. However, by 2025, we start to see how the system has begun to stabilize. The study serves as a baseline for future policy, emphasizing that we need to protect these therapeutic trends, like access to thrombolysis and craniectomy, even during global health crises.
It's a call to action for better system resilience. For the medical students and residents out there, this paper is a reminder that neurosurgery is part of a much larger public health machine. We aren't just operating on a patient. We are operating within a national trend of admissions and costs.
Well said. It's a fascinating look at the Brazilian landscape and a reminder of how much national-level data can teach us about the patients we see every day in the ER.
Absolutely. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris.
And I'm Dr. Alara. We'll see you in the next episode.